This is Andrew Phipps. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here today for the Faith, Family, and Freedom program. Wherever you might be viewing, we just are grateful for your being a part of the audience. We hope that these segments today will be a real blessing. Perhaps they'll help to inform us and help us to be educated. And I know that you're going to enjoy the segments. We have Preacher Leonard Ravenhill. He's going to be featured now. I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to the Psalm 137. And our message today, I gave Miss Ruth the title to it, I think. I believe it said something to the effect, "It is as it is, let's get over it." In Psalm 137, you might stand as we honor the Lord's word, show respect to the word of God. The Bible said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." Verse 4, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Our Lord, help us to be at our best for you today. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. You may be seated. Israel is under captivity. Between the 7th and the 6th centuries, Babylon had become probably the largest city in the world. Babylon is located 50 miles south of Baghdad today in what we would call Iraq, where they took down the dictator there, Saddam Hussein. They were known for their hanging gardens and the Tower of Babel. They were polytheistic, meaning that they worshipped a lot of gods. But somewhere in maybe 600 years before Christ, they were led into exile. Later, they would also, Titus would come and destroy the city in 70 AD, but also it was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 25 that the Lord said that it would be under captivity, said he would punish him, and that he would make it a perpetual desolation. And he said, "And I will put them under bondage for 70 years. Now, in the Old Testament, God used three methods to bring judgment upon his people: plagues, famine, and war. Later, 50,000 Jews returned to the land of Judah following the decree of Cyrus, and others came back. But you must pay attention to what the Word of God has to say here. See, first of all, I want to get right into the message. In verse 1, if you were doing an outline, we see the sadness that they could not shake. I want to say something to you today. I think, and don't go out and misquote me if you would, please, I think America is headed to judgment. I believe there's no way we can get around it. Somebody said in the debate the other night that America is yet to see its best days. I don't believe that. The Lord said that it would wax worse and worse, that evil men would seduce, being seduced. And so we see a sadness. I think it's sadness when I see what's happened to our beloved nation. When I see the culture that can glorify cop killing. When we see a culture today that takes all of the things that are abhorrent and makes them acceptable. Things that are abnormal makes them normal. And things that are reprobate and we call it an alternative lifestyle. I know this kind of message is not popular. A lot of churches, you'll not hear this kind of message. The pastors are afraid of it, and I don't mean that wrong. They just simply are. I'm here to tell you today that we're going to have to deal with this situation as it is. I'm not saying that you are out of the will of God, but America as a whole is. The people that believe in the Bible, this precious word of God here today, this is a hated book. The thing that bothers me, and it bothers me tremendously, and I've got to share it with you. Please hang on just for a moment. I'm afraid that many people, their minds are already made up and it's not going to change. I ask this question, would you mind advance your thinking just for a little bit? What do you think it will be like in another 10 years or another 5 years? Let me ask this question. Those of you that have children, what will they be doing in 5 years? Or 10 years. Are they likely to be in church? Are they likely to hear somebody preach that believes the word of God as it is, that believes that we ought to preach it to men as they are? Or will we be in churches where they try to tiptoe through the tulips, where you never hear one word about sin and its consequences? I'm here to remind you today that Jesus Christ is a thrice holy God, and all sin is repugnant to him. We don't sin to become sinners. We sin because we are sinners. Were it not for the Holy Spirit of God, not a single one of us could be trusted outside these doors here. I wouldn't have what I thought displayed on a screen, not for a million worlds like this, nor would you. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? You see, they were sad. They were sad. I look back and I think about the beautiful people that I've met over the years, Brother Dave. How that your dad would come and give my mother and bring maybe others and bring her a Christmas basket. I've never, ever forgot that. I don't want to ever forget it. How that they would come, and old-fashioned preachers, they might not know the King's English, but they knew the King. And here we live in these trying times. I think about the good people that I've met, people that would give you a helping hand. We've got beautiful people here in our own church. I could name them, but I don't want to. I'm afraid I might leave somebody else, but we've got praying warriors in this church. We got some people, if you would go to them and say, I need prayer, so they'd pray for you, and you know that. Beautiful people, people that love God and love one another. I'm glad that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Old-fashioned preaching's about to go out of style in a lot of places. Our shout is dried up. We no longer get excited about the things of God. Help us today. These people are sad. They're sad at what they see. We're in exile. The time is coming. Hear me. The time is coming. I may not see it, but the time is coming. We'll be shut down in this country. I think if you could see what's coming, you and I would probably not even want to leave the church today for lunch. I don't know. I put some stuff on our Faith, Family, and Freedom program. There are people smarter than me that say that it's looking like perilous times. It could be that we're approaching civil war in America. The people are fed up. They've had it. They've had it up to the chin with these people that promise everything, and we're still living in the doldrums. We've got corruption in the D.C. area that ought to make every one of us hit our knees today. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, I wouldn't say that. Well, I've already said it. Liberty Baptist Church has to be known as a church that proclaims the word of God. Is that all right? I wouldn't give 15 cents to go to some place where they sugarcoat the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. Secondly, not only were they sad at what they could not shake, they didn't like the sarcasm they could not stand. They said, why don't you sing us? Now here are the tormentors, the people that are overlooking these Jewish exiles. They're singing, ah, come on. It's not bad over here in Babylon. Sing us a song. They're thinking, my, why would you be so sarcastic? Here we are in exile. We're hundreds of miles from our home. Let me tell you something today, neighbor. In my heart, I can still remember home. Somebody said, well, you can't live in the past. But I said, the past is living in me. But I'm going to give you something here. It is what it is today, and you and I are going to have to deal with it. Because of God's judgment on an unfaithful nation, you may not have been unfaithful, but the nation has rebelled against God. Secondly, we've got to get on with our life as it is. Let me share you something now. Please don't throw a rock at me when I leave. I don't know what folks are going to do. I don't know how many of them are going to come to church. I don't know how many are going to be faithful. But I talked to a man yesterday, and you'd know him if I mentioned his name. Doesn't live in our state. But he said, Andrew, we've got to concentrate on the people that we might be able to win. And those that are set in their ways, we've got to go on. I think as I'm not a pastor, I couldn't pastor a church. I wouldn't have five people show up on the second day. But let me just tell you something here. I believe with all of my heart, we're wasting our time on many people. We're trying to cajole them. We're trying to invite them. We're trying to encourage them. We're trying to enlighten them. We're trying to admonish them. But their minds are already set. I sent out text after text after text yesterday to some people that don't ever go to a church. I don't know. Their minds are made up. They're not going to come. I'm pretty sure of that. Somebody said, well, that's not much faith. It's reality. It's reality. You know people that have given up on the church. Once people start missing the church, it's not long until they don't miss it. You'll never convince me that I can go to Walmart, stand in line, kiss people, and not get COVID. But if I get within 8 blocks of a church, I'm likely to get it. Neighbor, I'm not that stupid. How about you? If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
After the individuals, prepare to meet thy God. And I'm going to talk to you about meeting God now in three or four directions in the next few moments. You're going to have, he said, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet who? God. What God? The God who created you. The God who breathed into your nostril the breath of life and made you a living soul. The God who knows every thought that ever percolated through your brain. The God that knows your end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. The God that knows all about you, where you're going, where you have been, and what will happen. That God. That God you cannot deceive, you cannot defeat. It's inevitable you have to meet him. You can't avoid it. You can't escape it. You can't evade it. You meet him at every corner of the street. You meet him at every turn of the road. You meet him in the daytime amid the blooming flowers. You meet him at nighttime beneath the twinkling stars. Wherever you go, you run into God. That God, and he said, you have to meet me. You have to meet me. First of all, you'll have to meet him with your life. The most responsible thing on this earth is to live and to have life's responsibility. The most responsible thing on this earth is to be a moving, breathing human being. That's the most responsible thing on earth. A young mother dying one day after giving birth to her first boy, her baby boy, and she called her a husband and said, come and stand by. And she said to him, Charlie, I am leaving. I leave the boy with you. See that he grows up to be a stalwart, decent young man. And then see that he gets an education. And then lead him to Christ and bring him home to heaven to live with us. That's the responsibility of living. A body to build, a mind to train, a soul to save, an ever-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. That's the responsibility. And in the light of the God that moves among you, you have no right to gamble with life or life's opportunities. God gave you a life. What have you done with it? You got people listening to me today. If they were to die today, they wouldn't be missed 24 hours except with their immediate family. Their body would decay as quickly as their name would decay as quickly as their body would decay. What have you done with your life? What have you done with your life? We were rushing along one night, my grandson and I, through the darkness. I'd preached and driving all night. And he said to me, Papa, why do you keep going like this day after day, night after night? Why do you keep going? I said, you wouldn't understand if I'd tell you. But I said, when I die and you stand beside my grave, I don't care anything about you erecting a shaft of granite or a monument of marble. But I'd like for people to stand by and say, and I'd like for you to be able to say, my pop-pop never left me a fortune, but he left behind a life that was big and rich and ripe and blessed humanity. 250,000 souls, they say, have taken this hand and been pointed toward Jesus. What will you do with the life that God has given you? Second, you're going to have to meet God with your influence. Influence. You say it's nobody's business how I live, it's everybody's business how you live. Because no man liveth unto himself alone, and no man dieth alone. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, in some respects I am my brother's keeper. Listen to young, listen to me, you parents, if you lead your child to hell, by your influence you'll have it heaped upon you at the judgment of God. Yonder's a lawyer going to his office morning after morning. He'd stop by a saloon, get a drink, and then go on. And this morning he looked back where the snow on the ground. And the little fellow was stretching his feet as far as he could. And he looked back and said, what are you doing, Bobby? He said, I was just stepping in your tracks, Daddy. He said, I bought me a newspaper, and on every page was stepping in Daddy's tracks. I stopped at the, and I went into my law office, opened my book, and on every page was stepping in Daddy's tracks. And he said, I dropped upon my knees and said, God, I will not another day by my influence damn my own child. What have you done with it? Then you're going to have to meet God in the sphere of death. You say, that's an old-time preacher. I know it. I'm an old-time preacher. I hadn't had any reason to change it for 56 years, and I'm not fixing to change it now. Amen. Listen, it's appointed unto man once to die. Sooner or later, crape will be on the doorknob. Sooner or later, crape will be on your doorknob. And within less than 100 years from now, every man, woman, boy, and girl, and little child listening to me will be in the cemeteries in the evening. Zephyrs will be singing their sad songs above their graves. And you'll be either in heaven or hell. What else? Beyond the grave. Beyond the circle of loved ones. Beyond the tears. At the judgment bar of God. You said, I'll live recklessly and die and forget it all. No, because you're coming face to face with him. Sam Jones said he went home one day and his wife said to him, Sam, I want you to go see the old sheriff. He's dying. I said, you know he's an infidel. You know he's an infidel. I went to see him, went in, and I said, Sheriff, are you afraid to die? And he said, I've always told you I wasn't afraid to die, Sam. And then I stooped down real close and whispered in his ear and said, what about the judgment? And he almost threw himself off of the couch and said, my God, I hadn't thought about that.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Had some of the premier preachers from days gone by. What a treasure. What a memory bank. And it's so delightful to share them with you, our friends. Thank you for helping us and for telling others about our program. Go to the website, Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom, whether it's ordering the book or any of our materials. But until the very next time, this is Andrew Phipps. Have a great day. God bless.